Do you know that Abram was challenged concerning his former life? Do you know God is always going to challenge? You know, Abram, well, it took him some time to get going. But now the obstacles had been removed. And so he moves out with his family. And he has the altar of appreciation. But you know, home life and my country and kindred and the house of my father, those things have a way of tugging at the natural heartstrings. Oh, ought I to go back? Is there more there than what God is promising me? And so he's challenged here at the altar of decision. Will I go on to Bethel? Where dwellest thou? And this thought here of how long halt ye between two opinions. It is there a familiar portion, young people, on Mount Carmel, that this battle between God and Satan himself unfolds. And Elijah brings the people of God to this point. If God be God, serve him. You see, young people, we cannot think that the God who has stamped us exceptional, that has branded us, that gives us that eternal branding to say that we are his, will not have an impact upon our lives. If we who know that he is God treat him as if he is an idol, one that is dead that can't respond, he will come in on those who are exceptional. And he will impact your life. You know, as a young teenager, I had the experience of seeing saints who God judged. Perhaps you don't recognize it so much today, but I have seen and experienced saints who were living however they wanted to live in this place of not at Bethel and not in the world, loosey-goosey, doing all kinds of things, having the audacity to carry the name of the Lord Jesus, to show up on Lord's Day at the altar of appreciation and bow down and offer a praise and thank, and then Monday to Saturday, living any old way. And I've seen God say, you know what? I'm going to come in. And I've seen that life taken out of the scene. But he wants us as those who are exceptional to respond to the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. It is better, young people, for us to say, you know, there is no God. This is all some kind of fairy tale and Nancy tale. And let me just, I'm going to serve the gods of this world. It is better for us to take a position that there is no God than to say, Jesus died for me, and live like those who are in the world living. Because God, who has made us special, is a God that will train us. It is time, young people, to move on. There was the famine in the land, and I don't want to encroach on the next altar. But you see, it says there was a famine. You see, we're going to be challenged, young people, to say whether we believe that God is able to keep us. Or do I need, you know, I was thinking about this in-between position of Abram, that sometimes it acts as a safety net for us. You see, if I go all the way on to Bethel, and there's some struggles and challenges, I'm kind of far away from the world, that perhaps I may need to rely on them when things get a little hot for me. But you see, if I stay in the middle and I'm going through these challenges, and I'm praying to God for help, and He's not responding the way I think He ought to, well, you know, I can kind of lean back on the things that I know in the world. And they give me this sense of security. But you see, God wants to take away our reliance, our comfort, our confidence in the world. AI means heap of ruins. And I don't know too many of us that would walk down the street and see a car that's just been in an accident, total, and step back and ask the man, how much for that vehicle? It is worthless. It has been destroyed. AI, the world, has come under the judgment of God. When the famine comes, we need to be those who are enjoying the presence of the Lord in the house of God. Oh, how, you know what you'll find? I'm going to close. What we're going to find at the house of God is the people of God. Yeah. The Lord Jesus is there firstly. And that's the exciting part. That He is there, the Spirit of God is there. And the power of God is there. And the energy of the Spirit of God is there. How dare we say we come out to meetings and we don't get anything from the Word of God. Or maybe the instrument has failed to really unpack and unfold some of the beauties of the Scriptures that he opened up. But a brother taught us years ago that if the vessel fails, even the reading of that Scripture is enough to encourage my heart. Don't say I'm not going to go to the meetings. You know, Hannah, in a day of ruin, asked God for a son. And when God gave her the son, she said, I'm going to give him back to you, Lord. And you know where Hannah took Samuel? She took Samuel to Eli, the high priest, who was not doing what he should have been doing. Some of us would say, you know, I'm not taking my son or daughter there. Oh, that brother says that, and this sister says, I'm going to, really? God says, Bethel is where I put my name. And those of you who are special and understand it, oh, you come to that place where He is, and you'll find young people, like some of us have found, that though there are some bumps in the road, though there may be brothers and sisters, we ourselves, that are not what we should be or ought to be, the fact that we are in the place where we ought to be, the Lord Jesus is going to bless us. As I close, we say, where dwelleth thou? And the response from the Lord Jesus is, come and see. And then Elijah asked the question, how long? It indicates that there's been a period of time that we have been in the valley of indecision. But we are at the altar of decision at this moment, young people. Will we decide to go up to Bethel? Will we decide that the place of bread and nourishment, where the presence of God is where we who have been made exceptional and peculiar people, we decide that that's the place for me. Oh, may the Lord encourage our hearts with these few remarks for His name's sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.